the blood of Jesus Christ, it rewards us. We find a reward through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood guarantees our reward. Now, this is the part, when you really think about it, it astounds me and should astound you too, because this is the power and the truth of the gospel. Did you know the gospel is not fair? It's not fair to God. How is it fair to God that in the gospel, we sin and we deserve death so that Jesus dies that we might have life? How is that fair to God?
Good day and welcome to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and with me is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. And you're joining us today in the middle of our series entitled, Oh, the Blood. We're looking at key chapters in the book of Hebrews, and specifically we're focusing in through God's word at the work of Christ for us and asking the questions, have you really considered what Christ has done for you? Have you really taken it to heart? Well, today's passage is a great one. Oh, the blood, a better reward. Robbie, where are we going today?
I love this text, Craig. I just love it. It's so exciting because when you get the root and the foundation of the gospel underneath you, you understand what it brings out of you and what it calls from you is basically what God has started, He will finish. And that means to the author who are writing to believers who are under persecution and struggling, and really as our series comes to a close within these chapters of Hebrews 9 and 10, the call is to say, you can't give up. The call is to say, look at what awaits us. The call is to say, persevere and endure in the strength and the grace of God, because the reward will be given to you who are saved by grace through faith. And so that means we endure loss, we endure suffering, we endure persecution. Why? Because He's worth it. Jesus Christ is worth it. So you, loved one, where you are right now, in your car, at home, listening at your desk, understand Jesus Christ is worth it. He's worth the difficult day. He's worth the trial you're going through. He's worth the temptations towards depression. He's worth the pain, because in the end, all that is gone because our lives are rooted and fully built in Jesus Christ. That's the point of the passage. This passage by God for you today, for me today, to say, don't give up. He's worth it. The reward is coming, all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Craig, how great is God's word?
Fantastic. Excited for you, our listeners, to be hearing this word today. And as Robbie said, to be encouraged and challenged. In fact, this entire series has been an encouragement and a challenge to all of us. And if you'd like to get a copy of it, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit our website at liveinthelight.ca, or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. All right, great encouragement, great reward ahead for us today as we go into our text. Let's go there right now, and here again is Pastor Robbie.
As we end this series, I want to remind us again, if you've done this often, is that the foremost goal of this series is that we would say differently and live differently the phrase, oh, the blood. And throughout this rich series of biblical texts has been so rich in God's word, we have learned that the blood does the following things. The blood of Jesus Christ, and only the blood of Jesus Christ, redeems us and sanctifies us. It purifies us. It purchases us. It cleanses us. It secures us. The blood of Christ emboldens us. And that's one of the prayers for this series right now. I'm praying that you and I, having a greater sense of the theology that cannot be taken from us if we're saved in Jesus Christ, would give us a greater level of faith, leading to a greater level of boldness, because you have been washed clean by the blood. Because the blood of Christ, ultimately, it saves us. It saves us. But here's what the blood also does as we end our series today. And this is what's so exciting. And here's the big idea for this whole message is the blood, if you're ready for this, the blood of Jesus Christ, it rewards us. We find a reward through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood guarantees our reward. Now, this is the part, when you really think about it, it astounds me and should astound you too, because this is the power and the truth of the gospel. Did you know the gospel is not fair? It's not fair to God. How is it fair to God that in the gospel, we sin and we deserve death, so then Jesus dies that we might have life? How is that fair to God? How is it fair that in the gospel, we reject God, we deserve punishment, yet Jesus sheds his blood, and then we are granted forgiveness? How is that fair? How is it fair in the gospel that we're the ones who are lost? We're the ones who are without hope, and we deserve it as such, but then we are loved by Jesus Christ in spite of anything we have done, and in the end of that, in the gospel, we receive a reward. How is that fair to God? The answer is it's not. But that's how powerful and how amazing and how humbling and how God-glorifying the gospel should be and is. It's all him, yet we in the process, by grace, through faith, we are forgiven, set apart, and even we receive a reward. Again, think of the gospel. It's truly awesome. Because in the world's terms, the people who get rewarded are the people who define their lives by outstanding behavior or achievement. We give awards to people who we deem are worthy due to what they have done. And so we bless people with outstanding behavior or achievement on their works. But in the gospel, it's completely different. Again, we deserve death because of our sin, but we are granted the best reward ever. And I encourage you, think about the reward granted to you in Jesus Christ. Spend some time this life to just sit down. And 1 Corinthians 2 says, what no eye has seen and no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That's pertaining to the gospel, both here now and what will come. But try to imagine and try to think upon that we have been granted the greatest reward ever, which is solely purchased by the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He deserves it all. Yet we share in his reward. That's not fair to God, loved ones, but by faith we'll take it, amen? I mean, that's the love of Christ, and that's why we sing Joy to the World. That's why it's a joyful message, because we were dead, but now we're not only alive in Christ, we will live forever, and he grants us an award that is on the same level of his son, Jesus Christ. Incredible, humbling, awesome. In the world's terms, it would go like this, though. In the world's terms, it's like, hey, man, how did your job review go this year? And your friend says, oh, it was awful. Like, on a category of like A to F, I got F on every single level. In fact, my boss told me that my review was one of the worst reviews he's ever seen in the history of the company. He looked at me in the eyes and said, you stink. And then you say to your friend, wow, man, I'm sorry to hear that. That's terrible. So I guess you got fired, eh? And your friend says, no, actually, instead of getting fired, I received the greatest bonus in the history of the company. And me and the CEO were on the same level. Can you imagine? And your friend's like, what? Listen, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. We deserve F's everywhere across the board, but in Jesus Christ, by him, we get the greatest reward ever handed out in the history of the world, eternal life in Jesus Christ. I mean, just think about that. That's astounding. That's why Christmas is such a big deal. Loved ones, this is why no matter what happens in life, this is why no matter what trials come, we'll see that in the text. Do not give up. You have reason to live. Do not believe the lies of Satan, but press on to what's ahead, because it's coming, he's coming. It's gonna be sweet, all right? All because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the reward in Jesus Christ. I gotta pray, okay? I gotta pray just before we go on and finish our series. Oh God, would you bless this time now in truth? Would you bless this time by the power of your Holy Spirit? Would you bless this time with encouraging us to the reality? Oh, the reward of the blood of Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, our response, our attitude in what should be to the reward and the blood of Jesus Christ that has saved us and set us free. Encourage those who are struggling in despair. Give hope to those who can find it not. Strengthen those who are desperately weak. Lord, today I pray you would give eyes to see for those who have been distracted by the emptiness of this world. May this Christmas time, may we see the Savior And may we understand he lived, that he died, that he would shed his blood, that he would rise from the dead, that he would ascend to heaven, that he will return. And when he returns, he comes with a reward for those who love him and trust in him. Amazing. Lead us in this truth today that we might be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Alrighty. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Oh, the blood. Oh, the reward. A better reward. Check out this text. Hebrews 10, verse 32. But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. Amazing. Since you knew, the phrase "since you knew" is everything in this text. Since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. There it is, verse 34. There it is, verse 35. Here it is, verse 36. For you have need of endurance. Amen, amen, amen. So that when you have done the will of God, you may receive. There it is again. You may receive what is promised. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay the return of Christ's loved ones. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. It's coming soon, but my righteous one shall live by faith. Faith sees this. Faith lives this. Faith knows this. But notice those without faith, if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. God responds to those with faith. Those who do not believe in him, he turns away from. But verse 39, but we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed. Amen, church? We are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those who have faith and preserve their souls. So notice this again, throughout this series, Hebrews 9, Hebrews 10, the theology of the blood leading to this moment, the belief of the blood of Jesus Christ, now the behavior in the blood of Jesus Christ. Belief, true belief, must always lead to right behavior out of love for God. What's our attitude in response to the reward that we're given by the blood of Jesus Christ? Number one is this, our attitude is it's worth suffering for. The reward in Jesus Christ, it's worth suffering for. Verse 32, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. Make sure you know this, loved ones. The Bible does not keep it a secret that along with the blood of Christ comes persecution for Christ or suffering for Christ. Make sure you're not deceived in any level through the reality of what it means to follow Christ on this earth. With the blood is promised suffering. Right here in verse 32, it says, after you were enlightened, which means after you were saved, after you were converted, after you saw the light. In fact, the NIV translates enlightened as you received the light in that. And it says here in verse 32, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. So the exhortation of the author is here as well in verse 32, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened. It's almost like he's saying this as he speaks of their suffering and their hard struggle. He's like, remember life before Christ? Remember life before you converted to Jesus Christ, and now remember life after you were saved in Jesus Christ. And this truth right here in verse 32, it reminds me of something I love to say a lot. It's life in Christ is not easier. It's just way better. But both statements are true. Listen, life in Christ is not easier. It's not easier. If people lead you to a prayer of faith in Christ, saying that all your problems will be solved, they are teaching you a gospel that is not true. The truth is we don't live for now, we live for what will be, and the reality is faith in Jesus Christ is glorious and awesome and life-changing, but it doesn't mean life is going to be easier. Charles Spurgeon said, God had one son without sin, but he never had a son without trial. He had one son without sin, but he never had a child without trial. And the recipients of this letter knew this firsthand. They knew that as they placed their faith in Jesus Christ, that persecution began. Now, most of these first generation Christians that are being addressed were Jews. And as they turned to Christ, they would be rejected by family and friends. And one commentator says that often they would be thought of as dead. But right in these verses, notice this, that conversion to Christ meant struggle. After you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle, and conversion to Christ meant sufferings. Notice right here in verse 33, conversion to Christ meant verbal abuse, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach. It also meant physical abuse, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, it says as well. But I want you to see here the word endured in verse 32. You endured a hard struggle with sufferings. The word endured there is a strong metaphor in the original for wrestling or an athletic competition. So the point is this, how difficult the challenge was and how real the suffering was as you endure, as you wrestle through life, as you struggle to compete against the sufferings that are brought upon you in hard struggles and in sufferings. Now, many of you, as you look upon verse 32 and verse 33, and you see the phrase hard struggle and sufferings, many of you relate to this. Many of you, if you were to put your life on the table this year, in the last few years, and maybe just consistently throughout, you would say, yes, it has been a hard struggle. And yes, there are sufferings and trials of all sorts of various kinds. I want you to be encouraged with this text. I want you to see here, though, that you're not alone. I want you to see that struggle and sufferings within the Christian walk is a sign really of legitimacy in many ways, that you are truly in Christ. Because if life has no trial and you're in Christ, I'm really afraid for you, because there is no son of God, child of God, daughter of God that lives this life without trial, that lives this life without discipline. So to look at that phrase right there and to say, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. After you were enlightened, after you were converted to Christ, you endured much hard struggle and sufferings. That's why often when someone comes up to you and says, hey, Robbie, how you doing? And you know, we just, oh, good. I'm good. Hey, great. You know, you do that. Hey, Jake, what's up, man? How you doing? I'm great. I'm great. Are you really? Are you really good? Are you really great? Now, this is where my theology kicks in. Hey, Robbie, how you doing? Now, in one sense, my theology tells me I really am good. I really am good. The reason I'm really good because, well, I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I mean, I have the hope of glory within me. I'm a child of God. I will never die. I'm going to heaven. There's a place reserved for me. Nothing can be taken away from me. Jesus Christ loved me. I've been washed from my sin. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm going to glory someday, so soon. It is a good day. It is a good day. But my theology comes to the other side, and I also think in my mind, and I say, I'm good, but I'm fighting. I mean, every day is a fight. Every day I live is a struggle. What kind of struggle? A struggle against sin, a struggle against myself, a struggle against Satan, a struggle against the systems of the world, a struggle to love, a struggle to not be about me, a struggle to fight the good fight of the faith for Jesus Christ, a struggle to move forward with the gospel. It's a fight, it's a fight, it's a fight. Do you relate to that at all? Do you relate to that at all? Every day is a struggle. So in one sense, how you doing? I'm great, I'm great. I'm saved in Christ. In another sense though, it's hard. There's a struggle each day, which is supposed to be the way. Again, loved ones, you're here right now. You're struggling. You're not alone. You're not alone. Be encouraged by that. The Lord is promising you that as we seek to really go for Jesus Christ, a lot of lukewarm believers, though, they set their lives up in such a way that nothing gets hard. They want it easy upon easy upon easy. That is not the Christian life. That is not the genuine Christian life. But we're to endure, remember that word endure, to wrestle, to fight against, to compete with the struggles that come our way, to not give up, to persevere, to believe by faith. And you look at these Christians that the author is writing to, you're kind of like, man, they were under some serious opposition, but they didn't fail. They didn't give up. And you're like, how? Why? Why did they not give up? The answer, I believe, is in verse 32. The answer is in the word enlightened. And again, the NIV says, after you had received the light, when someone is saved, when someone has been enlightened, it means the light of God has shone in their hearts. The moment they were saved is the moment they could see. The moment we are saved is the moment light destroys darkness. And that's why Christmas time is light time. Christmas time is joy time because we take so much joy when the light of the world came. Isaiah 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. John 1, John 1 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Ephesians 1 says, when the eyes of your hearts were enlightened. Okay, ready? Here's a secret for persevering through the Christian life. It's not supposed to be a secret. But here's the power of enduring through struggle, of making it through suffering. Here is the formula, biblically speaking, of how we present ourselves in the midst of trial, in the midst of our discouragement, in the midst of great despair. We must remind ourselves of what our eyes have truly seen. And when our eyes are enlightened, what do they see? They see hope, they see riches, they see glory, they see the strength and the care and the love of God. You're like, can you give me a verse for that? Yes, I can. Ephesians 1, verses 18 to 19 on the screen for you. Notice this is the secret to the church, the Christians that are being written to in the book of Hebrews. This is the secret to the church in Philippi. This is the secret to the church in the New Testament. This is the secret for the church in Harvest Oakville right now. If your eyes have been enlightened, this is your truth right now. And having the eyes of your hearts, constituting our soul, constituting our very being, enlightened. I can see that you may know. See, hearts enlightened equals I know. Again, the truth of the mind, renewal. I know what? What is the hope? When you can see, you know you have hope. The hope to which you've been called. God has called me. He has plucked me out of the pit of hell and redeemed me as a child. When I'm enlightened, I know the hope to which I've been called. When I'm enlightened, I have hope and I know the riches. What riches? Not earthly riches. Riches of the glorious inheritance of the saints. Notice this. When I see hope. I see riches. I see inheritance. I see glory. I see reward. I see reward in the saints and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power. Notice how much Paul here in Ephesians 1 wants to show us it's not our strength, because we go through life, we got nothing. We can't make it. We struggle, wake up, we're so tired, we're exhausted. You can't keep doing this. You're right. You can't keep doing this, and neither can I, but God can. This is the gospel. Enlightened, hope, riches, inheritance, the greatness, immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might, who believe his great might, his power, all from I can see. The eyes of my hearts are enlightened. Hope, riches, inheritance, glory, reward, power, the might of God. Don't you see? When you do see, you know why you live. And that's how these Christians kept going in the midst of hard struggle and sufferings. Look at me, loved ones, look at me. That's how you keep going and I keep going. The only way we keep going in the midst of hard struggle and sufferings. You must look to the reward. You must gaze upon the Savior, Jesus Christ. And when this happens, when you see hope, riches, inheritance, reward, and the strength of God, when you see it, listen, it's worth suffering for. If you don't see this, if you look at the world, you'll give up. If you look at Christ and you understand what you've been granted in him, it's worth suffering for. And right there, that principle is one of the highest principles for the Christian life. Here's what you got to ask yourself right now in this text. What are you living for? No, really. What are you living for? Because whatever you're living for will determine the strength or lack of strength within your life. Are you living for a cushy job? Are you living for the easy life? Are you? Are you living for something for life? You don't want life to be easier. You want the trials to go away. You just want more money in your bank account. You want more stuff that you can gather. You're just looking for the next luxury item because that will solve your problems. You want a better vacation. You want a bigger house. You want a better paying job. You want less pain. You want more better physical health. Are these all the things you're living for? Things that are all here and now? If that's what you're living for, it's not going to go well in Christ. That's not why we're saved. Check your heart right now. Is Christmas about, again, honestly, is it about stuff? Is your heart longing in idolatry for other things? That's not what you're living for. Or at least the Bible is trying to tell us that's not why we live. And the more we do that, the more we subject ourselves to pain and disappointment and misery. And for some of us right now, that's the only thing we needed to hear today. What am I living for? See, the reason these Christians could endure, the reason they could stand their ground amidst the struggle and sufferings is because they saw the reward. So they said, it's worth it. It's worth it. I mean, the reward compared to that, this is nothing. I count all things as loss compared to the surpassing worth, reward, inheritance, glory of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And notice this too, notice in the text, they not only found it worthy to suffer in themselves, but because their eyes were so fixed on the reward, they found it also worth it to suffer alongside others. Look at verse 33. Sometimes exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. That's amazing. That's amazing. This is the call for true believers, not only to find suffering worth it personally, but to find suffering worth it corporately, to come along others who are suffering. We find it worth it because our eyes are so fixed upon the reward. But the only way this happens is when our eyes are truly on the prize. Loved ones, when you're looking at the reward, you say it's worth suffering for. Number two, when you look at the reward, it's my every confidence. This is my confidence. This is what I'm living for. Again, look at verse 34 now. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. Again, this is the phrase here. Since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Now, reading these two verses, I saw four powerful truths that relate to the theological understanding of our reward. And in my mind that loves alliteration, all these words just happen to start with the letter C, all right? So don't blame me for that. It's just the way my mind works. And so I saw four C words that unpack the truth of what it means to live for our reward. So let's start with the most important word that starts with the letter C is this. It's clarity. Notice as it relates to our reward, we must have clarity. Again, verse 34 says, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. So this phrase is bringing all the other applications together. All the other behaviors that this church is exhibiting are glued to this phrase, since you knew that you had a better reward. And loved ones, this is the secret to the Christian life, to the power of the Christian life. Clarity of mind leading to clarity of conviction. Since you knew what? That we have a better possession. That we had an abiding possession. Loved ones, this is so important. If we fail to see clearly, we will not be able to live powerfully. If we fail to see clearly, we will not be able to live powerfully. I regret to inform some of you again, the reason we lack power in our lives is found right here, because we fail to see clearly. We have not been looking to the cross. We have not been looking to the Savior. We have not been rehearsing the gospel. We have not been thinking on our reward. We've been filled with self-pity, self-pride. We've been filled with self, and our eyes go off of Christ and onto us. When our eyes go onto us, that leads to depression.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.